Welcome to Web Talk Radio, webtalkradio.com for the week of March 5th, 2005. And my name is Rob Greenlee, and thank you for streaming us or downloading us to your mobile pocket PC or MP3 player from around the world. And Dana's here with me again.
We all know how helpful having an encyclopedia is. And the web really is some kind of an encyclopedia. But there is one website that really professes to be that and more, and that's wikipedia.org. Right now we have Jimmy Wales on the phone. He's the founder of Wikipedia. He's the director of the Wikimedia Foundation. And he's here to tell us about this fascinating encyclopedia. It's really one of the top sites on the internet.
Jimmy, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Well, why don't you share with our listeners who may not be aware of Wikipedia, what it is and what's the concept behind it?
Well, Wikipedia is a freely licensed encyclopedia. It's written online by thousands of volunteers, and it's all free. It's freely licensed in the sense that people can copy it and redistribute it, but it's also free in the sense it doesn't cost you anything to go on the website and take a look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's really incredible. I mean, I just want to back up the part that you said where it's basically a contribute, you know, people can contribute to this and it's free. I mean, explain your unique angle, because this is not something you see very often.
Yeah, well, basically we're using a free license that is called the GNU Free Documentation License, which means that anyone can take our work and copy it, redistribute it. They can modify it to suit their own needs, and then they can redistribute the modified version even if they want to.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other really unique thing about what we're doing is that all of the articles are being edited in software that's called a wiki.
Mm-hmm.
And a wiki is the Hawaiian, it's derived from Hawaiian word that means quick. And it's basically quick editing software. So it allows people to collaborate very quickly. So anyone can go on the website and sign up and edit articles. It's kind of an amazing thing.
Now, how did this whole wiki concept evolve, and how early in the game were you actually involved in it, and what kind of inspired you to actually put this Wikipedia out there?
Well, Ward Cunningham invented the idea of a wiki in 1995,
mm-hmm.
and for several years, wikis were kind of a quiet underground phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the wiki enthusiasts were actually terrified that people would find out about it, because they were afraid that if large numbers of people came in, it would just wreck it. So a lot of the wikis were kept quiet. They were quiet little communities who hoped people didn't find them too much.
Not a lot of trust in people's
abilities
to contribute to this, huh?
Yeah, I mean, there is a lot of trust within those communities, but, I mean, naturally enough, you would imagine, if you let people edit your website, it's just going to be
yeah.
crazy, right?
But, well, that's what's kind of fascinating about this, too, is that it is kind of flipping that whole concept of control on its head.
There's there's a lot of little tricks and techniques in the software that are not self-evident.
Mm-hmm.
Every single change that people make goes to a recent changes page.
Mm.
People have personal watch lists where they can keep an eye on articles that they're interested in. So there's a lot of mechanisms of supervision and control that go on really 24 hours a day. And we've
got
a very tight-knit community of people who are always hanging out in IRC 24 hours a day and via email and the talk pages on the website. So it's not quite as crazy as it seems at first glance. Yes, you can come in and edit a page, but somebody's going to be watching it and revert it if you do a bad job. So.
Now, is that person basically assigned by you guys, or is that
person
that kind of dedicates themselves to this task and says, I'll do it?
Yeah, it's very grassroots, very, very bottom-up. There's very, very little about what we do that's directed in a top-down manner at all. Other than the big picture vision statement and some of our basic policies of neutrality and being kind to each other and things like that,
mm-hmm.
That I insist upon. Other than that, everything is organized by volunteers.
So do you ever have conflicts that happen between leaders under a particular category that maybe don't agree with what was deleted or kept in there, those kind of things?
Yeah, we do have, conflicts. I guess there's different kinds of conflicts. One is just a simple dispute about the content, and that's really no big deal. People, that's a matter of reasoned discourse, and people discuss different views and try to find a compromise. Sometimes conflicts get a little personal. I mean, we're a very friendly and nice, open community, but I can't pretend it's a perfect utopia.
Sure.
You know, people get into fights and things like that. But I think a lot of what helps us keep all that kind of fighting to a minimum is really our big picture charitable goal, which is to distribute a free encyclopedia to every single person on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
When you've got that kind of big picture vision to unite people, people can set aside little differences and say, well, let's just get back to work.
So is what you're building here kind of a central repository for all human knowledge? Is that kind of the bigger picture of what you're trying to build here?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
An encyclopedia is, I guess I wouldn't use the word repository for an encyclopedia. I mean, a repository would be, you know, sort of all kinds of information,
okay.
Opinions, original research and things like that, whereas an encyclopedia is really a synthesis or a summary.
A summary of, okay.
of human knowledge. But, yeah, I mean, in essence, that's really, we're trying to do something that's fairly big, I think, in the history of mankind.
Yeah.
Now, you were starting earlier talking about sort of when you jumped in the game when Wiki was kind of started in the mid-90s. Let's go back and tell us how you started that, how long you've been doing this.
Well, what happened, I had the idea for a freely licensed encyclopedia, and I hired somebody to help me work on it who designed a very interesting but ultimately flawed top-down process, very similar to a traditional encyclopedia.
Mm-hmm.
We had 7 stages of review, and it turned out that was just really too difficult and complicated for volunteers. We had a lot of people who were excited about the idea of writing a free encyclopedia, but the actual software and the process was standing in their way. And so another employee showed me the Wiki software and showed me Ward Cunningham's Wiki. And so then we started thinking about it, and we decided that, hey, this is something we should try.
Mm-hmm.
So we put up a Wiki, just, you know, found some free software on the Internet under a free license and installed it and started using it. And it was very quickly a success. We had as much work done in 2 weeks as we had gotten done in 2 years. So we knew this was the right way to go.
So when a person actually comes in and wants to become a part of the Wikipedia, they can actually set up an account, right? And then they can actually create their own subject area that they can start building. And does that automatically make that person kind of in charge of that community if they start something like that?
No, actually. I mean, one of the interesting things about the community is that we have a very strong ethos that no one in particular owns an article. So you can't come into a new area and sort of dictate the way it's going to go. It's really up to the entire community. And that's really important because in a wiki, everyone can edit your work, and it's really important to set aside that kind of view that, hey, okay. This is my article. Why are you changing my article? In terms of cooperation, we all work together to improve the articles, and it doesn't belong to any one of us.
Yeah, because I noticed that there's areas in there that are actually that have been structured by a person in a person's name. So, you know, like I could go in and create an area for myself, Rob Greenlee, or Dana could go in and create one. Would that area be open to contribution from others as well?
Yeah. I mean, that would be your user page, we call it. When you when you log in and create an account, you have a user page and a user talk page. By custom, people typically only edit their own user page, and then other people leave comments from them on their talk page. But you can edit people's user pages.
Okay.
You know, it's important to do so in a kind and thoughtful manner. You're going to get yelled at. But, you know, that was actually one of the things. If you go to my user page, it says, you can edit this page. I trust you. Go ahead. Just, you know, try to make it better. And since I put that note on there, it's actually gotten a lot better. I had a really sloppy user page, and people made it look really nice. So,
You know, it's fascinating that the people will actually take that responsibility and do the right thing. And that's what I've noticed as well, is that people really care about different subjects and how they present the information in there. It's, you know, it's really a personal responsibility kind of a thing, I've noticed.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a lot of pride within the community, intellectual pride, the pride of getting it right, the pride of doing a good job. You know, that's kind of, it's very uplifting to realize that, wow, you know, most people are just looking to be helpful and do something good. And, you know, there are, of course, trolls and troublemakers, everywhere on the internet, but if you've got the software is right that empowers people to collaborate rather than fight, mm-hmm. You can really do amazing things.
I think that's great. It's like your, Jimmy, your little army of ethical people out there. And you've just, this conversation has done more for my sort of viewpoint of humanity than I have recently had. But I do want to ask, because of course my immediate thought is going to be, there's going to be commercial plugs and self-promotion and stuff. And I know that it gets cleaned out, but do your people report on that kind of thing? Are you aware of it going on out there?
Yeah, I mean, occasionally, you know, we do have the occasional commercial plug, but usually either it's for something so minor that we can't confirm or correct it or anything, so it ends up getting deleted. But more commonly, it just gets smoothed out. You know, basically, it's perfectly legitimate to have an article about this topic. It just shouldn't be a press release. And so, occasionally we'll find authors, people like that may post in their personal bio from their website, which is okay, fine as a starting point, but it's a really typically a little too press release-ish, that kind of stuff does get cleaned up. And that's really where, to understand how Wikipedia works, one of the things I always emphasize is when you first hear about it, you have this idea that it's a million people adding a sentence each, and somehow this becomes an encyclopedia, but that's really not how it works. Well, the way it really works is, behind the scenes, there's this group of several hundred people who are in constant communication, discussing standards, discussing policies, sharing information about what's going on the site, and they end up playing much more of the traditional role of an editorial body, mm-hmm. even though it's all informal.
Oh, interesting. Well, and also, I noticed on your site that you guys have a real strong system of versioning, and you guys keep all of the past versions as well. So
that's right.
If something gets deleted somehow, maybe somebody gets mad at
absolutely.
Somebody and goes in there and deletes a bunch of code that you guys can easily restore?
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, that's a very common thing. If somebody comes in and vandalizes an article or sticks in some spam, a link to a website that's irrelevant and things like that, it's one click for people to roll it back to the previous version. So we make it as easy as possible to maintain the quality of the content, and we're able to, administrators are able to block people's IP number temporarily.
Okay.
So if you come in and you start, behaving like a jerk, you'll just get blocked for a couple hours while we keep on doing our good work. And by raising the cost of troublemaking and lowering the cost of doing good, it furthers things a lot.
So do you see the software getting a little bit more WYSIWYG? It seems to be pretty pretty heavy in code at this point. Do you see that as an obstacle to its quicker growth into more regular users?
Yeah, well, the wiki editing, the wiki text is supposed to be very simple and intuitive. You don't have to know HTML. You shouldn't have to study very much. When you click on edit to edit a page, it should be fairly obvious what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as we've added more and more advanced features to the software, templates and things like that, it is a little trickier than it used to be. People do have some proposals for WYSIWYG type of editing, but that's a tricky thing to do on the web. I mean, we're not really in the business of fixing what's broken with web browsers.
Well, I guess you would really have to think about that because there's a lot of alternative browsers that are really picking up traction.
Yeah, definitely.
It's not just one anymore. It's, you got the Firefox out there and Opera.
Oh, absolutely.
And
in fact, for Firefox is what I recommend to people because, first of all, it's freely licensed, so that's always good. But beyond that, there's a nice Wikipedia editing plugin. And so you can just download that. And then when you go to edit Wikipedia, when you right-click in the edit box, you've got all these neat options that are
that's great.
Easy to use. So. It's funny, I had installed this, and I don't edit all that much personally because I try to arbitrate disputes, so it's better if I don't get involved in editing much. And I forgot I had this plugin installed, and I accidentally right-clicked, and I'm like, ooh, wow, look at that.
It's amazing how that works. I mean, is there any discussion with Microsoft about being able to plug into the IE browser?
I'd be happy to talk to them, but I've never heard from Microsoft.
Yeah,
so.
Interesting.
Yeah, they maybe they think we're a competitor with Encarta, but we're so far beyond Encarta that it's we haven't thought of them as a competitor for a long time. So.
Yeah. Well, now What kind of support is the Wikipedia going to have for digital media? Are you guys, I know that there's other kind of archival type things, you know, like the Internet Archive and those kind of things. But are you guys going to be supporting any of the digital media things that are really starting to explode online as a content piece for the Wikipedia?
Yeah, I mean, that's we have the Wikimedia Commons, which is for media files of all kinds.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly that is currently photographs that our volunteers have taken or old public domain illustrations, things like that. And then it's also sound files. A lot of the sound files are pronunciations of words from the Dictionary Project, which is called Wiktionary. We don't have a lot of video yet. That's the, still in its infancy.
Okay.
But, we're very eager in supporting all those kinds of things. But all this really within the central mission, which is, we're focused on education. We're focused on sharing knowledge. So, there are other sites that are really better for sharing, random media files and things like that.
Sure, sure. And why don't you tell us about your Wiki Cities project that you're working on?
Wiki Cities is a new company, for profit, and basically the idea is that to use some of the same social principles and the software and things like that to empower communities on all kinds of things. And really the thought process here, if you think of the early promise of the days of the Internet, that people could come on and write pages about any kind of topic, but if you go and you search on the Internet, you'll find tons and tons of abandoned pages on all kinds of topics. So, on the Seattle Seahawks football team, for example, you'll find plenty of broken fan pages.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is that now fans can get together and collaborate and share their work with each other, and everything's under a free license, so they can do whatever they like with it. But the collaborative software means you can generate a higher quality product over a long period of time and, have a community, and people can meet for dinner and whatnot.
So
just getting started, but I think it has a lot of potential.
So does that mean that what you're ultimately going to see here with the Wikipedia is that you have communities that develop around the encyclopedia that communicate with each other on a regular basis? Is that, involves media as well as kind
of... Yeah, I mean, already we have, some sub-communities of, say, the Wiktionary communities.
Mm-hmm.
We're very, very global. I mean, that's one thing that people sometimes miss about the project. We're... fewer than half of the articles that we have are in English, and
mm-hmm.
about half of our traffic is to English Wikipedia.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in, there's over 50 languages that have 1,000 articles, for example.
Wow.
So there's all of these sub-communities already, and then I think there's going to be a lot more of that. It's really kind of a big picture phenomenon on the Internet.
Well, that brings another question to mind, Jimmy. I like how you have, is it like over 200 languages? I mean, you're
mm-hmm.
extremely global, as it should be. What countries do you see that are more, embracing Wikipedia? Are there more than other countries?
Like Germany? Certainly throughout Europe, it's very big. I mean, the German Wikipedia is the second largest, and it has over 200,000 articles. I actually spend about half of my time in Europe. Now I get invited to conferences over there. I joke I'm like one of these rock stars that's big in Europe and nobody's ever heard of over here. So.
David Hasselhoff of the Internet world. Hey, back from Belgium, didn't you? What were you doing over there?
I was speaking at a free software conference called FOSDEM and met with various people over there in the Belgian government. And people are very interested in what we're doing everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that you're more recognized overseas in the United States? Is it an educational difference, or is it a, I don't know, what is making that happen for you, do you think?
I don't really know. It's a very good question. I have speculated about it. All I know is I just keep getting invited to speak in Europe. And I've been invited to speak here. I mean, I just spoke at Harvard and I spoke at Stanford this year. And have an invitation to come back to MIT. So I'm getting, there's a lot of attention on Wikipedia here. We just had a big article in Wired magazine.
Yeah, I saw that. That was terrific.
Yeah, so it's not like we're unheard of here. It's just
it's
sort of a funny thing that it seems bigger to me in Europe.
I've noticed that you guys are kind of ranked like in the top 200, the most traffic websites online right now. Are you seeing that just grow just exponentially up from there? Are you guys going to get up in the top five, do you think?
It's very hard to say, but I think so. We really we keep adding servers, and every time we add servers, the traffic jumps and the site gets slow again, so we add more servers. Traditionally, we've doubled our traffic about every 3 months, and I believe the last time our doubling took 4 months instead of 3 months.
So okay, so it's taking a little longer, yeah.
Takes a little longer each time.
But 4 months is not very long to double your traffic, right?
No, it's not very long at all. I mean, right now we have 50 servers, and so when we're looking at needing 100 servers pretty soon, it's kind of an intimidating thing. But we really have a good design on our website, and we're getting a lot of hosting offers from different organizations to help us with the server requirements and the bandwidth and things like that. So we're very confident that we're going to be able to handle the growth. As far as how big we can grow, I don't know. One of the developers did a calculation and said, well, if the amount of editing keeps growing the way it is, then in 7 years, every single person on the planet is going to have to edit Wikipedia 24 hours a day to keep up. So I have a feeling it's got to slow down before that time.
Yeah,
so we're trying to help the world, not destroy it by having everybody addicted to editing Wikipedia instead of doing their work. But
yeah, because it seems like it just grow forever and ever. I mean, if you think about the granularity of knowledge how far it can go down, this could keep growing for the next 1,000 years, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, in terms of actually how big can the encyclopedia itself get, I don't have any special insight. People ask me all the time, well, how many articles do you think you'll eventually have? And I just have to say, I don't know, but it's fairly common to even now, as big as the English language Wikipedia is, that if you look around, you can find a topic that hasn't been covered. And, sometimes it's maybe increasingly obscure things that haven't been covered, but there's still plenty of work to do.
So you're probably actively looking for people to contribute, I would imagine. And
yep.
What is
yep.
the typical process of a listener that may be listening to our show that wants to contribute and jump in? And what do they need to be thinking about walking in?
Probably the best thing is, just start reading some articles, get a feel for the style and the tone. It's good to visit the community portal and read some policy pages. But by and large, most of our policies are, we try to design the policies so that you don't actually need to know any policies. If you're a thoughtful person who's just trying to do good, there's not a whole lot you need to know. Just click on edit on any page and make your changes and save. And if people don't like it, they'll change it back or whatever. You can sign up for free and get an account. So we try to make it very, very open and welcoming.
Okay, and so just about anybody can log in and create a subject page, right, and start adding stuff to it, and then the community just takes over.
Usually it's going to be easier and better to start editing an article that already exists.
Okay.
So, you see a spelling error, grammar mistake, that's always a nice place to start. People are usually pretty amazed. I mean, even if they've heard about it, they're pretty amazed when they make their first edit and save, and, wow, that was that easy. Actually can edit this page.
Jimmy, tell us about your blog, where we can find that, and what you kind of put on there.
My blog is at blog.jimmywales.com, J-I-M-M-Y-W-A-L-E-S. And basically, I just post not as much as I should. I'm not, not a great blogger. But I try to post thoughts, things that are relevant to the community, things that are relevant to the project, interesting tidbits.
What did you do before Wikipedia? I'm just curious what your background's in.
I used to be a futures and options trader in Chicago. And before that, I was a PhD student in finance. So not exactly the background you might have expected.
Very
corporate.
No, yeah.
That's right. That's right.
From corporate to egalitarian, I love it.
Well, Jimmy, it was great having you on the program.
Very good. Nice to talk to you.
Being able to speak with you and find out more about the Wikipedia and Wikipedia.org. So,
okay.
You have a great week.
All right. Thank you.
That's all the time we have for Web Talk Radio this week. On behalf of Rob and myself, thanks for listening, and we'll see you round the net.
Thank you for downloading the Web Talk Guys. Bookmark us now for next week. Same Web Talk Guys time, same Web Talk Guys channel.